as it is. This news operations we are recording. This will be fed up for MiniChat. You might alert Worldwide English Carpi that we are recording the MiniChat. This is, you're monitoring with us here, but we will be feeding the tape after it's done. It just happens to be on the line at the moment. Dick Lewis and John Lennon, what do you think of the flight so far? Mr. Lewis, what's impressed you most about the flight of Apollo 8 up through Thursday?
Well, of course, the most conspicuous aspect of the flight is its trouble-free nature. The considering the distance and the change in environment through which the vehicle has passed, this is quite a remarkable engineering feat. But of course, I think we're all very deeply moved by the adventure itself, man's first flight around the moon in lunar orbit, carrying out a dream which is thousands of years old. And carrying it out, incidentally, with a great deal of skill and proficiency and planning. Another aspect of the flight, which is quite remarkable, aside from the mechanical functioning of all these millions of parts on the Apollo spacecraft, is the justification of the deed itself, which was criticized before the flight by a great many experts who felt, and I must include myself among the critics, who felt that this was too much too soon. It isn't too much too soon, as we have seen, even though at this moment in our conversation, the first lunar astronauts have not yet returned through the atmosphere to the bosom of the Pacific Ocean.
John Lennon?
Well, I'm inclined to agree with what Dick had to say about the perfection element. I was very, very impressed by the fact that this thing has worked so well from the time it first got off the ground. It's a marvelous piece of machinery. And I'm further impressed by the fact that they did what they did. I have a sneaking suspicion that what's happening here is something that's bigger even than perhaps the lunar landing. These are the first. They got away from the Earth, and they got to the moon, and they lived with the moon, and they left the moon. And to me, this is a very significant thing.
Frank Borman said to me a couple of weeks ago that he thought that in the history books 50-100 years from now, this may be looked back upon as a not very important thing, but I think that from our perspective as journalists and possibly historians, we would disagree with that, wouldn't you, Dick?
I think so. I think that in many respects, this flight will command a greater attention in history than even the lunar landing, which the landing, incidentally, may be somewhat of an anticlimax to this flight. Getting into lunar orbit, making rendezvous with the moon, was really the prime objective, the initial objective of Project Apollo to begin with, before a landing was even considered. And this has now been achieved. Another very interesting aspect of the flight is the shooting down of a number of difficulties and a number of problems which had been supposed. Let's enumerate them. One, apparently the radiation going through the Van Allen belts was not a severe hazard. Number two, apparently being beyond the shielding effects of the Earth's magnetic field, which the astronauts passed at an altitude of about 55,000 miles.
They're still out there.
And they're still out there. Has not had a significant effect so far as their radiation exposure is concerned, at least according to the dosimeter readings that they're getting back here. The so-called mass concentrations on the lunar surface have not ostensibly or apparently affected their flight path in any degree which would make it difficult to land. And I think they have already ascertained during the 20-hour period in lunar orbit that it is going to be a reasonable and safe operation to plot a pinpoint landing with the LEM. So that what remains to be done, so far as the landing is concerned, is to have the LEM function properly, function as well as this spacecraft has done. The navigation seems to have been quite straightforward and quite up to expectations.
This flight is carrying out what Apollo director Sam Phillips said, a technical checkout. You care to comment on that, John?
In regards to the LEM, they're doing some navigational work which relates directly to the LEM. There are LEM programs in the Apollo 8 computer, and they're checking these out with the ground. But that discussion about the limb, you know, leads you right into the next phase, which is really a fourth generation spacecraft. And I think that Apollo 8 has certainly proven out that the Apollo craft itself is the third generation, and it's third generation perfection. And now we're going to start all over again with the LIM, which, if you look at it from the point of view of being a spacecraft which is designed to operate not at all on the Earth, but totally in space, and which can't even be tested on the Earth, that we're going into this whole program all over again with a brand new spacecraft, almost a brand new program.
Well, the LIM, the lunar module, the lunar landing module, surely has a lot more going for it now from what we've learned by at least putting the command module there and in orbit around the moon.
Well, at least you know you've got backup there, and all you have to do now is prove that you can move from one to the other and prove that the other one will fly. I say all you have to do. That's a very large order.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the another thing that we've seen demonstrated here is the hope, which was expressed before the flight, that no insurmountable difficulties which had not been foreseen would present themselves, and none has. Actually, one has the impression, after going through this whole business from liftoff to the point where we are now, as where the crew is halfway back from the moon, that this has been a perfectly straightforward experience, fully anticipated, fully expected. Nothing unexpected has happened. And this in itself is amazing, because space is a rather harsh kind of environment to explore, and may have some nasty surprises, but we haven't seen those yet. The other thing I think that is quite remarkable, and which history will probably summarize more aptly than we can now, is that we are seeing the first application of an interplanetary transportation system that really works, really operates.
I think what I was getting at a minute ago in mentioning the technical checkout is that many of the critics, and I believe maybe you have been one, Dick, have criticized the lack of scientific justification for the flight, but it has certainly been an engineering achievement. I believe this was part of Sir Bernard Lovell of Jodrell Bank's criticism. The space agency, I don't believe, would have proposed it as a real scientific endeavor. It really is an engineering accomplishment to prove out the systems we're designing for this trip to the moon and back.
That's true. It's a test pilot's flight. It's not a scientific expedition in any sense, and the scientific data which are acquired on the flight are gravy.
Well, do you know, one of the things that kind of caught my eye when we were at the Cape, Dick, was the fact that for the first time since before the Apollo fire, you get a feeling of confidence and forward thrust from the top officials of the space agency. For the first time in many, many months, at least in my experience, they're beginning to talk very positively of lunar landings and making them within, not only within our time frame, which is the end of the year, but making them by, say, mid-August. And this denotes a high degree of confidence, as far as I'm concerned. And it's confidence which has been lacking for a long, long time.
Gentlemen, thank you for joining me for this discussion. Dick, did you have one more word there?
No, I was just going to add that we do have one more hurdle, and that's the entry into the Earth's atmosphere. All things being equal, that should cause no difficulties.
Thank you very much for joining me for this discussion. Richard Lewis, editor of the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, and John Lennon, science editor of the Washington Star. This is Rhett Turner at the Manned Spacecraft Center, Houston.